We're going to start here in the middle of Nun Hei Amud Aleph by the two dots. We're continuing to discuss the Mishnah of Elu Torot, these things that are not problematic, they are not treifot. And one of the items is Nitala Tchul. If the entire spleen was removed, the animal is not a treifa, and it's fine to eat. Now, on that, we have one of the Shev Shmaitata, one of the seven Memrot of the Amoraim that we have back on Mem Bet Amud Bet. One of those Memrot dealt with this piece of the Mishnah, and that is the qualification of Amar Rav Avira, Mishmei Derava, Lo Shanu, that's only true about the spleen, Elanita. If it was taken away completely, Aval Nike, if it was punctured, then it's a trefa. So the spleen's completely removed, then it's not a trefa. On the other hand, if the spleen's there and it's punctured, then it is a trefa. So Meitiv, Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, V'Yitem Rabbi Yossi Bar Ziv Vida, then they had a question on this from a Braita. Chotech Me'ubar Shebemeha Mutar Ba'Achila. If an animal is pregnant and has a fetus inside of it, there is a rule that kol babeima tochelu, that anything that's found inside of the animal is nitar ayidei de shechita of that animal. So if you shech the mother, then the ubar that's found inside of the mother is also nitar ayidei de shechita of the mother. Anything inside of the animal, including the fetus, is nitar. Over here, you went in and you sliced up the animal inside, the ubar inside. If you take one of those evarim out, then you have a problem of evar min achai. You have a problem that it came out before the shechita took place, and then it would not be permissible to eat. But here, where you left all the evarim, you left all the limbs inside, you left the fetus inside, since the mother is whole and shalem, she is matir anything that's found inside of her, and this fetus, even though it was cut up, is no longer alive, the mother is matir, and you can eat that fetus. On the other hand, if there was minatchol or minaklayot, if cut away from the mother was part of the spleen or part of the kidneys, then asur ba'achila, then you cannot eat the fetus. And that's because there's a special qualification when we say kol ba'behemah tochelu, that anything that's found inside of the animal is miota tochelu, that only from it, shlema v'lo chasera, that the mother must be shlema. And over here, there's a chisaron. She's missing a part of her spleen, she's missing a part of her kidneys. And that's a gzerat ha-katuv, that if she's not shlema, she can't be matir what's fine inside of her. So over here, when they slice off a piece of the spleen or they slice off a piece of the kidneys, then she's no longer shlema, it's not matir the uber that's there. And obviously, slicing it off is the equivalent, if not better, than a nekev. Because as Rashi says, that a slice is just much bigger nekev. It's a much bigger manifestation of a hole. And what do we see? We can infer from that braita that the fetus is asur b'achila. Habeima, gufa. The animal itself, the mother, is sharia. That she is muteret b'achila. So here you have slicing off of the spleen or the kidneys, and we're saying it's just fine. Yet, Rav Avira, in the name of Rav, is suggesting that if you have a puncture in the spleen, it's no good, then certainly when you slice it off, it should be no good. So how do we reconcile? So Gemara says, either, hu adin dafilu behemana me'asira. Now even the mother is asura here. She's a trefa as well. But I did the Tana Reisha mutar b'achila. In the Reisha, where the reference is to the fetus itself, and it says mutar b'achila, therefore for the parallel structure in the seifa, it's Tana Nami Seifa asur b'achila, referring to the fetus. Even though, truthfully, it's not just the fetus, it's even the mother that's asura b'achila. Vi ba'itema, nikev l'chud v'nechtach l'chud. Talking about different levels of problem here. This is talking about treifot. Treifot aren't all the same. If you take it away entirely, not a problem. You slice it, not a problem. Puncture it, there is a problem. And that's the din of the treifot here, that only a puncture is a problem. Nechtach and nikev, you can't compare these two items. Right now we're going to discuss another one of those memrot, which is Amar Rachish Bar Papa Mishmei Derav. Lokta bekulya achat trefa. If one of the kidneys is diseased, then it's in betrefa. So even though here in our Mishnah we said that if the kidneys are removed entirely, there's no problem. Yet if one of them is diseased, then it is problematic and it becomes a trefa. That's another memra of the Shev Shmaita that we saw earlier in the Gemara. So Amri b'marava. Vehu dematai lukuta. That's only if the diseased part reached l'makom charitz. It reached to the point of the charitz, which is translated as the hailum. So Gemara asks, v'heicha makom charitz? How do I know where the place is? Where in the kidney is this makom charitz? Gemara says, chiyura tetute matne. The white area that is below the loin, which is really the calyces. It's the tube that takes the urine or the discharge from the kidneys over to the bladder. So that pipe runs out of the right kidney, back out to the bladder, and it's a pipe that sits right below the loins, a white pipe that sits below the loins. But in the kidneys themselves, in the shape of the kidneys themselves, the lobes or the outer edge of the kidneys are reddish lobes. And in the center of the kidneys, you have the arteries and veins, as well as this outlet pipe that comes out to take it out to the bladder, all of those are in the center of the kidney, and that area is white. So these are the calyx, or the calyces, which empty out from the outer lobes of the kidney into the ureter. So the white that we're describing over here are both the calyces and the ureter, which are at the center of the kidney, and then that pipe runs out, that white pipe runs out towards the bladder, and that's what's being described here in the Gemara, that the white pipe that is under the loins of the animal, referring to the ureter, which then connects into the calyces, and that's the white that we're describing at the center of the kidney. So we're saying here that the disease has to not only be on the outer lobes, the red lobes of the kidney, but it must have reached to the internal white piece, or the white area in the center of the kidneys. I asked all the experts in Shreifot, Demarov and Eretz Yisrael, and this is the conclusion that they gave me. Hilchato ki rachish bar papa. The halacha is like rachish bar papa, and therefore if you have a diseased kidney, if it reaches into the center of the kidney, to the white part of the kidney, then it's a trefa. Velet hilchato ki rav avira. But the halacha is not like rav avira b'shem rava, that if you have a puncture in the spleen, that it's problematic. Now, whether it says de rav avira now here, or the way Rashi reads it, ve lo amran ela b'kulshe. When we say that the halacha is not like Ravira, that's only when it's punctured in the area that it narrows. The spleen as it sits is somewhat of a crescent, or even almost like a hot pepper or chili that narrows. It's thicker on the top and then narrows towards the bottom. So the kulshe is the lower or narrower part of the spleen. So that we only say that the halacha is not like Ravira as it was punctured in the narrow part. Aval besumche, if it's punctured in the upper part, the thicker, wider part at the top of the spleen where it's attached, there it would be a trefa. Ish tayer beik ovi dinar zahav kshira. Now, if there is a thickness of a gold coin left in it, then it's a kshira. So here, when we're talking about puncture in the spleen, it's got to be punctured right through, meaning through both edges of the spleen. If the needle entered in the spleen from one side and does not reach the other side of the spleen, it has the thickness of a gold coin left between the tip of the needle and the point of the needle and the other wall, then it's a kshira. So that's the qualification. So there is, the halacha is like Rav Avira, if you have a puncture all the way through in the thicker part of the spleen. Otherwise, the halacha is not like Rav Avira, and the hole will be just like if it was taken away entirely, that there's no problem with the spleen. So Amrei b'Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say, kol ha-pusel b'reya, anything that is problematic by the lungs, kasher b'kulia, is fine by the kidneys. Now, the comparison comes because both of them have these lobe-like sections to them, plus they're both very reddish. And over here, we're going to say, sheharei, nekev, psul bereya. If there's a nekev, if there's a hole, a puncture in the lungs, it's a psula. Kasher, bekulia. On the other hand, if you have a puncture, a hole in the kidneys, no problem. And then certainly you would have to conclude from this that something that is fine by the lungs, kasher bekulia, is also good by the kidneys. So matkiflai rav tanchuma, veklalohu? Is this really a general principle that you can apply? Very mugla. What about the pus that is found inside of them? The kasher bereya. We saw this earlier in the Gemara when we dealt with the lungs, that if there is a pus or some sort of boil, blister, or callus on top of the lungs, that it's fine because we assume that the liquid got between the two membranes, the two walls of the lungs, and that they remain intact. The outer wall is intact and there's just liquid underneath it. But we saw, the Gemara said before when we had the Memra, that from Rav Matno, that it was a problematic when there was mugla in the lobes. We said that really referred to the kulya. And so we see that pus is problematic for the kulya. Upasul b'kulya. V'harei maim zachin. When it comes to clear water, the ksherim hocha v'hocha. Then it's fine in both places. As Rashi says, lo yadana my kushya. I don't know what the question is here. Because clear water is not problematic by the lungs, and it's not problematic by the kidneys, so I'm not sure what the question is. Tosafot wants to explain the question this way. It's a little bit convoluted, but he's saying, by maim zachim that come because of an injury to the kidney, over there we say they're kasher. And we don't learn out from the other part of the kidney. We know by the kidney if it has pus in it, and we say that's a lakuta, that'd be problematic. But even though when there's liquid in there, and the liquid's also an indication of lakuta of some sort of disease or choli, nevertheless, there we say it's kasher. So we see that you don't extrapolate the din from one to the other, and that's the conclusion of the Gemara here. Elam Ravashi, trefot ka medamit hadadi. You're trying to compare different types of trefot. Ain't no rim b'trefot zu doma lezu. We don't make comparisons. We don't say between different limbs, different organs, that this treifa is like this treifa. Sharei chutcha mikan, if you cut it over here, umeita, and the animal dies. Chutcha mikan v'chaito. And on the other hand, if you cut it from there and it lives, and as Rashi over here uses a different example, earlier in the Gemara when we brought this, Rashi used the example of tzomet agidim, which is along the leg, that if you cut the leg further down and you hit the tzomet agidim, then the animal is a treifa and will die. Whereas if you cut the leg further up above the tzomet agidim, then the animal will live. So even though you're cutting more, which is counterintuitive, nevertheless the animal will live. Over here, Rashi gives the example of if you cut by the simanim or gid savara or the carotid artery in the neck, then the animal will die. On the other hand, you can cut off the entire shoulder and the animal won't die. So we see that you can't compare. There are different locations, different issues with each of the organs, the limbs, and sections of the behemoth. And therefore you can't compare. Just because something's true by the lungs doesn't mean you can say that it's true by the kidneys. Or just because it looks like the kidneys are more of a kal v'chomer from the lungs, you can't apply that because you can't extrapolate from one treifa to the neck. Umayim zachim kshirim. That point that we said that the clear water is kasher, lo amran ela detzile. That is only true if they are lucid, where they are absolutely clear, crystal clear. Avala kire, on the other hand, if they are a little turbid, treifa, then it's problematic. V'chid zile nami, and even if they're absolutely clear, crystal clear, lo amran, el delo sariach, if they're not rotting, if they don't smell. Avasriach, treifa, if they smell, or they have a bad odor to them, then they are treifa. Hakuyashik tina, a kidney that has shrunk, bidaka, in a lighter animal, the smaller animals, ad kipul, as long as it's still the size of a bean, it's fine. Bigasa, and the large animals, ad kanava benonit, to a mid-sized grape. So as long as they remain of that size, then they're fine. Now, here, when we're talking about the shrinking of the kidney, Rashi points out here, and some of the other Rishonim, then we're talking because of disease. Because of disease, if it shrunk down, as long as it remains above these thresholds, then it's a ksheira, not a treifa. On the other hand, if it's just from natural growth, or from the natural aging of the behemah, that it shrinks, then it's not problematic, and we don't have to worry about sizing whatsoever. Okay, the next piece of the Gemara, as you can see here, is in parentheses. There's some controversy as to whether this really belongs to the Gemara, or rather it was an addition or a notation on the side of the Gemara by the Gonim, and then later the copyists of the Gemara, they placed it into the Gemara itself. The Rosh quotes this piece of the Gemara, B'Shem HaGaonim, which is what raised the issue, although there are others that argue can include it in the Gemara because they say that we know from the Gemara that we can't add on Trefot. Trefot are a din Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and that the Gonim couldn't have introduced anything new or spoken about anything new. So if the Gonim had it, they must have had it, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and then it should belong in the Gemara. So we'll read it, but just be aware of the fact that it may not be a piece of the Gemara. So Nita L'Lechei HaTachton said in the Mishnah, if the lower jaw was removed, that the animal remains K'Kshera. Again, we remind that L'Lechei HaTachton, it's only when the Basar, the flesh behind the jaw remains, because that is in which the Simanim, the trachea and the esophagus are attached, so they still have to be in place and attached. As long as they're still intact and attached up there, if the lower jaw is taken away, then it's ksheira. Amar Abzera lo shanu, elo sheyachola lechiyot. That has to be, the animal has to be able to live. If it doesn't have a lower jaw, how's it going to eat? So it has to live, ayidei li'ita, which is stuffing in, vehamra'a, which is pushing in. If it cannot eat, survive being force-fed, then it's a treifa. As to what's the difference between li'ita and hamra'a is actually a discussion in the Gemara in Shabbat. And there the Gemara discusses that li'ita is the placement in the food into the mouth of the animal where it still has the option to swallow or spit it back up. Whereas hamra'a is forcing it in so deep or so far down the throat that the animal has no choice but to have it go down its throat. That's one difference. And another difference possibly is that one of them is done by hand. One of them is done by kli, meaning that li'ita is done by hand, whereas hamra'a is done with a kli, with an utensil. And the other difference might be the position which they end, which is that hamra'a is done when the animal is crouching down, when it's on the ground, whereas li'ita is done when the animal is in the upright or standing position. So just different forms of feeding the animal, but the animal has to be able to eat. If the animal can't eat, then there is nothing to discuss because the animal won't live. So if we see that the animal is refusing to eat, or when we give it, it fits the food back out, then it's a treifa because it won't survive. If it has no food, it doesn't eat, it won't survive. And therefore, if it refuses to eat, that would be the equivalent of being a treifa. All right, next part of the gutter is nitla emshla. If the womb of the animal is removed, then it's kshira, it's not a treifa. So tano, here, the Gemara says that this term of aim is synonymous. Hi aim, that's the womb. Hi tarpachat, vi shalpuchit. These three words are all synonymous, and they all mean the womb of the animal. Now, why there are three different words, so some of the Rishonim point out that maybe the word aim is used for behema, for the animals that we use it, and the tarpachat, or the shalfuchit, is used for the birds. That is a description of the fowl's reproductive system, a bird's reproductive system, where they create the eggs, or otherwise the ovaries. Be the ovaries of the egg, as opposed to the womb of an animal. And that's why there are two different terms or words that are used here, to differentiate between the bird's reproductive system and the animal's reproductive system. So that's another possibility of the differences here. There's also one interesting item, which is that Tosafot, back on Memchet Amud Aleph, when he was commenting over there, he said that the aim and the tapach and shalfuchit are synonymous, but he says, what about with regards to the bladder? The bladder, what's the din there? And he says that, well, the bladder is not mentioned anywhere in Shas, and therefore we are choshesh, or we assume that even a small nekiv in it will be problematic, because maybe it's included under the dakim, maybe it's part of the intestines, more part of the digestive system, and therefore be problematic. At the end there's a little ot hey, which takes you down to the shita mekubetzet at the end of that Tosafot, the top of Mem Chet Amud Aleph, and that shita mekubetzet says, v'yesh matirim u'mefarshim dehainu shalfuchit. That some explain that the bladder is the word shalfuchit. So the shalfuchit, the bladder and the womb are next to each other, very close, and it's part of the description of the Gemara in Nida, when it comes to describe the woman's body. Over there, it talks about the idea that the womb and the bladder sit very close together. So one possibility, and it's very hard to understand how you would read this Gemara in that case, but one possibility, at least according to the Shita and the Tosafot, is that the Shalfuchit is the bladder, whereas the Eim and the Tarpachat would be the womb. But over here in the Gemara, it seems to read that all three of them are the womb, and if they are removed, then it's not problematic, it's not a trefa. V'charuta bidei shemayim k'shera. If the lungs dried up, before we had this in the Mishnah, charuta means kechariota dekel, they're dried up like a palm tree. So if they're charuta bidei shamayim, because of the heavens, because of thunder, because of some sort of natural noise, then they're kshera. Tanu rabbanan, ezihui charuta, what's a charuta? Koshet samka rei ashala, that the lungs dried up, shriveled up. Bidei shamayim kshera, if it happened naturally, then it's kshera. Bidei adam, if it happened because of the interference of a human being, then it's a trefa. For instance, if a person screamed or scared the animal, and that's what caused the lungs to contract. Rav Shimon Elazar omer, af bidei kol abriyot. Even in the hands of any species or any animal. Now I'm going to ask, ibailhu, Rav Shimon Elazar, reishakai ulukula, or seifakai ulukhumra? What is Rav Shimon Elazar modifying? He's saying that midei shamayim, when it's done in the hands of heaven, that means even animals, because that happens naturally, it's not from the interference of man. And so animals, that's caused it to scare, for instance, the roar of a lion, would that also be considered to be bidei shamayim? And that would mean that he's modifying the ratio of the statement. Or is he modifying the seifa? And he's saying that av kol abriyot is just like Adam. Just like man is interference, and it's called bidei Adam, is problematic, and it does not regenerate or improve itself. So too, over a kol abriyot, any animal will have the same status as bidei Adam, and it would be a trefa. Tashma, detanya, we have a brighter charuta bidei Adam, trefa. So it's clear from this braita that Rav Shimon ben Elazar is modifying the seifa, and that he says that all animals have the same status as man, and therefore if the lungs were shriveled up or became dried out because of whatever noise that was created by another animal or by man, those do not rejuvenate, they do not come back, and therefore it'll be a trefa. Rabba Barachan avakazil b'midbara. Barachan was traveling in the desert. It's very similar to the stories that we have in Bava Batra, maybe one of his trips in Bava Batra into the desert. Ashkachanu dichrei found these rams. Did tzamek rea? Did who? Their lungs were contracted, shriveled up. Ato shel beit medrash. He went to the beit medrash and asked, are these ksherot or trefot? Samar lei bekaita. If it's the summertime, aita mishichle chiyure, bring white earthenware vessels. And as Rashi points out, the white is much cooler. Umalinu maya kariri, and fill it up with cold water. Vanchinu, and place the lungs into this water, me'et leit, for 24 hours. Sehidam baryan, if bidei shamayim. If they return to their former state, then you know the contraction happened because you can see that they can rejuvenate. Ukshera, and then won't be a problem. Ilo, if they do not come back to their former state, trefa. Besitva, on the other hand, in the winter time, aiti mishichle shichume. Then you bring a black pot, because that is warmer. Umalinu mayib shure, and you fill it up with warm water. Vanchinum eit leit, and you place the lungs in there for 24 hours. Ihadra bario. If they come back to their former state, ksheira, then it's ksheira, lo, trefa, otherwise it's a trefa. So that'd be the test. We don't know how the lungs got shriveled up. We know how they became dried up. So how do we test for it? So after the fact, this is the way you test for it. You place it in water and you see if they can re-expand and they can come back to their former state after 24 hours, and using the formula that they lay out for the summer and the winter, and that way we'll know if it's Bidei Shamayim and has the potential to come back and it's not a Trefa. Whereas if it remains shriveled up, we know that it's diseased or it happened Bidei Adam, and therefore they will not ever rejuvenate or come back to their former state, and they're considered a Trefa. Rashi just notes there are two interpretations. I read the interpretation that Mishichlei Chiyure means that it was a white earthenware vessel, and that the other time in the winter it was a black vessel. Rashi brings a second interpretation that the white is referring to earthenware, and the black is referring to Nechoshet, meaning that the utensil that you use in the summer is an earthenware vessel, and that's because the whiteness is describing the type of material used, and then the black, or the darker vessel, is Nechoshet, is the copper vessel that you use in the wintertime. Now, Hagluda, again, we saw back when we were dealing with the 18 trefot at the beginning of the parak, this is an animal that skin was totally removed, and we had the machloket here in our Mishnah, which is Tanur Banan, Hagluda, Rabbi Meir Machshir, Rabbi Meir says it's fine, V'chamim, Poslim, the Chamim say that is a trefa. Kvarhid Elazar Safra, V'yochanan ben Gudgoda, ala Gludash Psula. They were made that it's problematic. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Chazar Bo, Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir changed his position, and then he agreed with the Chachamim. Michlal, you can infer from this that Rabbi Shimon Elazar Palig, Rabbi Meir Begluda, that originally he argued there was a machloket, and then he retracted his position and agreed to the position of the Chachamim. V'atanya, don't we have a bright? Amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar, lo nechluku Rabbi Meir v'Chachamim ala Gluda shepsula. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says there was never a machloket between them. They always agreed. V'arhid, Rabbi Oshia benosh Rabbi Huda habasam. So Rabbi Oshia said in the name of Rabbi Huda, the perfume said lifnei Rabbi Akiva mishum Rabbi Tarfon ala Gluda shepsula. V'im nishtar bo kesela k'shera. If there's a coin's worth, a seller's worth left of skin, then it's k'shera, because we can assume that that will help it to rejuvenate or to regenerate the skin as long as there's a part of a cell left and has a chance of regrowing. So how do you explain this difference? In one instance, Rabbi Shimon Elazar is saying Rabbi Meir retracted his position, meaning that they were arguing. In the other place, we see that Rabbi Shimon Elazar is saying they never argued. So which is it? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my lo nechluku, when you say, what does it mean that they didn't argue? Lo amad Rabbi Meir Rabbi machlukuto. No, not that they never argued, but rather Rabbi Meir had retracted his position, and therefore lo nechluku. He didn't stand in his position, and therefore now they are in agreement. Amar Meir. So now we're going to explain, if there's a coin's worth left, then it's k'shera. Heicha, where does this coin's worth of skin have to be left in order for it to be k'shera? Some Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, al pi ha-shidra kula, has to be along the entirety of the back of the spine. So yibai lehu. So now when I say along the back of the spine, how does a sella fit into that? That's a long, long strip along the spine. So how do we measure that based on a sella? Da'arich v'katin, t'chi mitzarif la habi k'sella. Does that mean that you have a very narrow, thin strip of skin along the spinal cord, and if you pull it together, then it will be the area or the size of a sella? Odilma berochav sella p'nei ha-shidra kula. Or maybe it means that you have the strip that's all the way along the spinal column must be a sella wide along the entirety of the spine. Tashma, deparish Rabbi Norai, mishmei tishmo, berochav ha-sella p'nei kol shidra kula. So here we have it said it explicitly, that it means a rochav, a width wide of a sella that runs along the entirety of the spine. Rabba bar Chana amar oshei prakim, has to be on the heads of the joints. Rashi here defines that roshei prakim is the b'chol pirkei chuliota, that means along the vertebrae, v'atzamota shok, v'yerech, the knee and the hip joints, b'ina and shiur kesela. In all of these locations, you need a leftover vesela along all of these roshei prakim. Rabbi Elazar ben Antigonus, mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yana amar, makom tiburo, in the place of its belly button. Those are the place where you need that skin. I think it's obvious that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yana is based on the Gemara in Yoma, where they discuss where was man created from, where's the lifeline of man, and one of the deot there is mikom tiburo, from his belly button, that was the center of the man. So too over here, when they're saying where does the skin have to be left in order for it to rejuvenate and to regrow, regenerate, it's mikom tiburo. Now, in terms of the difference of opinions here, the question is, what are they saying? What are the amoraim? Are they arguing with each other? I mean, each one's offering an alternative, or are they saying in addition to? Meaning that this one says it works here, the other one says it works here, and the other one says it works here. Meaning that they're all offering alternatives to each other, but not necessarily being sholel the other ones. Or the third possibility is that they're additive. Meaning that the first one says the shidra, then you add on top of it this one, and on top of it the next one. So based on how you would read that machloket, will actually turn out that you'll get a difference in psak. Do we say that each one of them is exclusive of the other, and they mean mine works and the other one else works? And since the Gemara here is, we're going to see, it doesn't give any psak halacha, you have to be the chumra, you need all of them. Or are we saying here that each one is offering up an alternative that's just as good as the other one, and they all agree that everyone works, they're just offering up these alternatives over there, then any one of these would be sufficient in order to be k'shera. And then the last possibility we said was that they were additive, that each one is adding, that you have to have, in addition, you must have these, then obviously you would need all of them to be considered kshera. By Rabbi Yanai b'Rabbi Yishmael, nital makom ha-shidra v'kulo kayam. So Rabbi Yanai has an interesting question. What happens if the entire animal has its skin, except for along the spinal column? Nital makom tiburo, or the other hand, where the skin around the belly button is removed, v'kulo kayam, and the remainder of the animal is covered in skin. Nitlo roshe prakim, or the heads of the joints, like we said before, by the vertebrae and the knee and the hip, all those areas, they don't have skin. V'kulo kayam, on the other hand, the remainder of the animal has skin. My, what's the din there? Is it that these areas allow for regeneration, and if they're not there, then nothing can regenerate? It doesn't matter if there's skin on the rest of the animal, the fact that they're missing skin makes it into a trefa. Or no, just when you need large tracts of skin to come back, then you need these areas. But if you have most of the skin there and just a couple of little areas left out, including these areas, it wouldn't be problematic. The Gemara says, teiku. We don't have an answer to that. So Amarav, kola or kulo matzio begluda. Now it seems to be this is an additional opinion on the Amoraim, which means that anywhere there's a cell on the ore works, chutz mior beta prasot, except for the lower area of the leg, that's from the bottom of the knee down to the hoof, that area, because there the skin is very soft and it has more of a feel like flesh than it does like skin. And Rabbi Yochanan says, even that skin down there is good enough. If you have a cell of that left, that's good enough to the animal be kshera. Says, if I feel beta prasot, nami matzil. That will save the animal. Or beta prasot, mahu sheatzil begluda. Rabbi Asi asked directly from Yochanan, what's the story with that skin from the knee down to the hoof? That area, is that skin good enough to be matzil the behema? If it's totally skinned? Amalei matzil. Like Rabbi, you just saw in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, he says, yeah, that works. Amalei limatanu rabbeinu. Didn't you teach us, Rebbe, Elu she'orotehem kibisaran, that these areas are where the skin, the hide, has the same din as the flesh? I mean, that it's not considered skin, but rather has a din like flesh. Or beta prasot, the skin that is from the knee down to the hoof. So that's one of the examples. So over there you see that that area, Rabbi Yochanan had taught them, that area is not considered hide, but it's considered flesh. So how could he say that that's good enough to save the animal when the rest of it's skinned? So Amalei, al takni teini, don't challenge me about that. Shablashon yachid ani shona alta. That day all is a dat yachid. That day is a dat yachid. It's the day of Rabbi Shimon, which we're going to see in a second. And therefore, you're quoting me a question from a dat yachid on a halacha psuka. The halacha psuka is that it works. The skin works and it covers up the whole body because that's considered skin. I told you this din. That din is the name of Rabbi Shimon, who's a dat yachid, that the skin down there has a din like flesh. But that's a dat yachid. The chamim are going to disagree. Detanya, we have a baraita. Hashochet et ola laktir kezayit or shaltachar aliyah. So if someone has shecht an ola to be maktir, a kezayit from the skin under the tail, chutzlim komo, outside of the location where it's permissible to do the akhtara, pasul, veinbo karet, that's what we call chutzlim komo. Lizmano, if he intends to do the akhtara outside of the zman, then pigol v'chayavim alav karet, then it can classify as pigol and your chayav karet. And if you consume the basar after he's done this, then you'll have pigol v'chayav karet, or the other one is pasul, but veinbo karet. If you consume the basar, obviously the karban is no good. Here we're talking about an ola, so the only thing is that's chutz lizmano, chutz lemkamo, is haktara, is the actual offering of the animal. If you're talking about animals that can also be consumed or eaten, then there will also be achila. But here, since we're talking about the ola, there's only haktara. Eliezer ben Yehuda ish ivlim, amar mishum Rabbi Yaakov, v'chenaya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish far ikus, omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. So they quote the name Rabbi Shimon, echad or beta prasot, that the skin down below the knee to the hoof, v'echad or arosh shel egel arach, so too the skin on the head of a young calf. A young calf is while it's still nursing, that skin above, v'echad or shel tachad aliyah, so too the skin that is beneath the tail. All of those areas, the hide is very soft, and since it's very soft, it has a din like basar. And just, this will be similar to anything where the chachamim say that they have a classification of tumah, meaning they are bar achila, they're ochel, and therefore they're mekabel tumah. Elu shorotarem kibsaram. Lavi, what does that come to include? Or beta boshet. Comes to include or beta boshet, as Rashi points out, and we know from the Mishnayot over there that or beta boshet is or beta rechem shel nekeva. And the female genital area, that area of the skin is very soft. So there, chutzlim kamo is pasul, vein bo karet, chutzlim mano pigo, v'chayavim alav karet. So you see from here that Rabbi Shimon is the author of the position that the skin below the knee is soft like the basar. Because he had the Tanakama, the Chachamim, who say it's only the skin that is beneath the tail, and he comes in and adds on these other areas. But you see, it's the dat Rabbi Shimon. Now, when we say it's a dat yachid, it can't be that it's just a dat yachid. Because over here we have a Stam Mishnah that says like Rabbi Shimon, and then we have a Braita that says it's a Dat Yachid. And we know, Tosfos brings down, the principle is that if we have a Stam Mishnah and a Braita that says a Dat Yachid, that means that we paskin like the Stam Mishnah. So what Rabbi Yochanan has to be saying over here is that I learned the Mishnah is Divrei Rabbi Shimon. That even in the Mishnah, I have this being as Rabbi Shimon Shita, and not the Dat Stam or the Dat Chachamim, because otherwise we'd paskin like that, even though in the Braita we find it B'Shem Rabbi Shimon. So the answer, the Mubi, is that why Rabbi Yochanan paskins that if the skin below the knee is there, it's good enough to save it if it's a gluda, and it'll grow back the skin and it'll be a ksheira. Even though in the Mishnah we found the fact that the Beta Prasot has a din like basar, that area of the skin looks like flesh, but that's because it's that Rabbi Shimon. And we saw that machloket by the Ola, that only the skin under the tail, according to the Tanakama Chachamim, is considered to be like basar. Rabbi Shimon adds the additional areas, including the area between the knee and the hoof. And Rashi notes the reason that Beta Boshet was in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon was added in separately, because over here we're talking about an Ola. And an Ola always comes from the Zachar. And therefore the addition of the Beta Boshet has to be added in as a separate entity, because it's not really true by a Korban Ola. Tosfot, on the other hand, gives an alternative and says the Braita that's speaking about the Ola only brings items that are Sheveh, that are equal in all Karbanot. So therefore, if you're talking about Zachar and the Keva, Beta Boshet would not be in all Karbanot, and that's why you have to bring that in as a separate entity or a separate mention outside of the Braita. Rabbeinu Tam also points out that even though later on the Gemara, where it says the Or HaShalil is also classified like Basar, and how come the Gemara doesn't bring that over here, Rabbeinu Tam says because you can't be Mefagel but Or HaShalil. It's one of the dinim that we learned in Tzvachim, that the Or HaShalil or the Shalil itself can't cause the mother to be Pigul, and therefore it's not included explicitly here in the Braita, even though it's true that the Or of the Shalil has a din like the Or HaBasar. Okay, we'll stop over here.